with equal opportunities, okay? What's the first thing I'll say about that? They had the same parents. Now, when I think of the Bible, of people that had the same parents, but they turned out very different, I'm thinking of two other brothers in Genesis later on. Can you tell me two brothers that very different in their outcome that were born of the same parents in Genesis? Jessica. Jacob and Esau. That's exactly who I was thinking about. Esau's in hell. Esau was a fornicator. Esau was a profane person. Esau was not a believer, never got saved. Though a lot of people praised him because he was a hunter and an outdoorsman and a man's man, but what good is that going to do him? Jacob was saved and became a great leader, and his name was changed to Israel, and he became the father of the children of Israel. So what a difference. And today, what a difference. Adam and Eve were the father and mother of Cain and Abel. Now, I might ask a question of those two. Who was the firstborn, the oldest one of those two? Anybody know? Yeah.
Cain.
Yeah, Cain was the firstborn, and Abel was the younger brother of the two. But they had the same parental training. They had the same home and family environment. You know, those that are brought up in a family, they understand it. I like to talk to my cousin Carolyn in Michigan, and she talks about what it's like being a bloom. She was raised by my dad's brother. And she said, only a bloom can understand what a bloom goes through. And, you know, we get a kick out of that. We talk about that. It's something special. And you can identify with that in your family. And so Cain and Abel, they had the same family environment. Both were born and lived just outside of the Garden of Eden. And they had their home in the same area. And it wasn't nearly as beautiful as the home that Adam and Eve had in the Garden Paradise, which was absolutely gorgeous. Think about that. They were made in a perfect place, no curse, no sin, no pain. They lived in a garden where they had the promise that they would live forever, that they would live forever in that garden, in paradise, and everything was beautiful there. And how much less beautiful was it where Cain and Abel were born? It was certainly not perfect. Their parents did not have a perfect marriage. They had fights, they had quarrels, they had problems. Adam and Eve had no problems in the Garden Paradise. They had no fights, no quarrels in their marriage before the fall. Everything was beautiful. And so Cain and Abel had the same spiritual teaching. I am sure that Adam used to like to teach his boys about how wonderful it was like before they fell into sin. I mean, it was beautiful. And he would tell them about it, and the boys would hear about it, and he would say, you know, what a wonderful thing that was. Then I'm sure he told them how Satan, a fallen angel, how he got inside of a serpent that at that time used to walk upright and was a beautiful animal, and that serpent could speak. And the devil, though, spoke through that serpent to Eve, and how he got Eve, your mother, alone. And he worked on her and tempted her and deceived her and got her to think that if she ate of the forbidden fruit, that she would get wisdom and she would get knowledge that would be great. And she went along with it. He told her there would be no death. Everything would be great if she ate that fruit. He told her that God was trying to keep something good from her when God had given her everything good. And he lied to her and said, you won't die. And she took it and she ate it. And then Adam said, you know, and I ate it. And then Adam said, I ate it because I didn't want to lose your mother. I ate it. I knew it was bad, but I ate it because I didn't want to lose her. But I lost a lot because now we lost that home in the Garden of Eden. We lost our lives. Now we have to die. And we have a lot of pain and suffering in this world. I regret doing that. I should not have done that, you know. But I did it, and I regret it. And then he said, not only that, he said, but when the day would come, every day God would come, and I would walk with God in the garden and talk with God. And we had such great conversations together. He said, but right after we ate that, we both hid, and we made aprons to cover our nakedness. What's the problem with aprons made of fig leaves to cover your nakedness? What's the problem with an apron? Yeah.
Doesn't cover
the rear end of it. So you're mooning everybody. And that's the way it was, you know. And so it wasn't a proper covering. And that fig leaf pictures something. Adam said to Cain and Abel, you know, I felt so guilty and your mother felt so guilty. Instead of coming to God and saying, hey, it's good to talk to you. We were hiding from him and we were trying to cover our sense of nakedness and shame and guilt by wearing those aprons. It wasn't working, and God came and sought for us. He called my name, Adam, where art thou? And when that all happened, he said, you know, God asked me what was the problem. And I admitted that I took the forbidden fruit, but I blamed your mother. And I blamed God. I said, God, you gave me that woman and she gave me the fruit. You gave me the woman and she gave me the fruit. So he said, I wasn't accepting my guilt. I was putting the blame on your mother and the devil. And I had the opportunity to say no, and I didn't say no. And then your mother was asked, and she blamed the serpent. She blamed the devil. She said it was the devil that did it. But she also had the opportunity to say no to the devil, and she didn't do it. And God cursed the devil and made him the serpent could no longer walk. He had to crawl on his belly. And that's the way it is now, Cain and Abel. And then your mother, she was told that when she would get pregnant, instead of having painless babies and few births, like it would take years and years before she'd have another baby, now it'd come one right after the other with all kind of pain. And so God multiplied that. And then he made us, when we worked the ground, it's instead of bringing forth beautiful flowers and vegetables with no weeds, now we have weeds and thorns, and we sweat and we have to work hard, and then eventually we get old and die and go back into that ground, and God cursed us. But he said the good news is, guys, we have something to look forward to. And you know what Adam told them that they had to look forward to? What was it? Raise your hand if you know. He said, Cain and Abel, we got something that God gave us to look forward to. And he said something else. Before I get that, he said, God did something that amazed me. He took an innocent animal, probably a lamb, and he took it and cut its carotid artery, and the blood started pumping out of that lamb. I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen death before. And God told us, you see, your sin requires that some innocent lamb must die for that sin. And we saw that lamb die, and he said, in order for you now to talk with me and walk with me and have friendship with me, you've got to offer a sacrifice to acknowledge that your sin requires death and blood to be shed. And he took that lamb, and after he did that, he took the skins of that lamb and made clothing for your mother that covered front and back and modestly covered her. He made clothing for me that covered me and modestly clothed me out of the skin of an animal. He did that for me and for your mother. And that is a picture of somebody that's going to come. And so what did he tell Cain and Abel was the good news about something? Yes, Kathy?
The Messiah, Savior.
That what?
The Messiah.
Yes, that the Messiah would come. And you know what he said? He said, you know how your mother and I had the Garden of Eden as our paradise? He said, the Messiah, when he comes back, he's going to take away the curse. And it's going to be like it was that your mother and I had. It's going to be perfect. And we taught about that in Revelation, how when the Lord comes, he's going to take away the curse. And he must have said somehow when the Messiah comes, he's going to be God's lamb. And he's going to take away sin by his sacrifice of himself for us. What's that? Oh, as he came. Yeah, as he went into the... He said, as I go up, so I'm going to come down. Yeah, and he's going to come down. The same Jesus that went up is going to come back. But Adam told Cain and Abel all these things. And then he said this. He said, look, if you want to worship God... This is the teaching the Father gave. If you want to worship God... And look forward to the Messiah that's going to come and take away the curse like your mom and I had before this all happened. Then you need to worship God by doing what? What do you think he told them you need to do if you're going to have friendship with God and worship God so God accepts your worship? What do you have to do? What do you think he told them? Anybody? No? You've got to kill that innocent lamb. Painful seeing the blood pump out of that lamb, but you got to kill that lamb. And now we'll take that from there. They both had that same parent, right? They both had the same opportunity to get the same teaching, and they both had the same opportunity to worship God. And we'll look at that. But as I wanted to give you that they were born with equal opportunities. And now look what it says in chapter 4, if you got your Bible. I hope you got your Bible. Good to see you, Marilla. And turn to verse 1. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So did Adam and Eve have a child before they sinned? No. The first child was after they sinned. And... I'm sure that he knew Eve. He had physical love with his wife, but pregnancy was few and far between before the fall. And after the fall, pregnancy was quicker. There were more pregnancies and very painful. And so the Bible says that he knew Eve, had that physical relationship, and this time she conceived, she got pregnant with her firstborn son, named Cain. She named him Cain. And she said, it says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, when she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, what do you think she was thinking about? Why did she make that statement, Rose? That was the promised Messiah. Remember, the Lord had said in Genesis 3, verse 15, and Adam taught this to Cain and Abel later, God had said to Adam and Eve, he said, you've sinned, you've messed up, but I am going to have a woman that will give birth to the Messiah, and he will take care of the seed of Satan, who will be the anti-Messiah, or the Antichrist. And he will be wounded in his heel, but it won't be fatal because, you know, we know he died, but he would rise from the dead. He would conquer. But he will crush the serpent seed, who is the Antichrist and all those that follow the serpent by not believing in the Messiah. So there are two ultimate seeds. One are those that believe in the Messiah and those that don't. And the ones that don't believe in the Messiah will wind up taking the mark of the beast given by the Jewish Antichrist, and will worship the Gentile beast. But God was already saying, you know, there's going to be a man born of the woman, And that man born of the woman is going to crush the serpent and take away the curse and bring you guys back to a world like you had before Eve sinned and gave it to Adam and then he sinned. And Eve got that first baby. Oh, it hurt. But she thought, this is worth it. I've gotten the man. I've gotten the Messiah from the Lord. But instead of a Messiah, she wound up having a murderer. How disappointing. You see, sin will take you lower than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. And she didn't realize what it was going to take and how much time it was going to take before that woman, who was Mary of Israel, and the nation of Israel called the woman, would give birth to the Messiah. It was going to be 4,000 years of waiting. 4,000 years of waiting. But she was so excited. I've gotten a man child of the Lord and all of that. And then the Bible says, if it goes on there, he says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she, verse 2, chapter 4, again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the soil. Now, keep in mind that they had two different jobs, but they were born to fulfill identical purposes. What is the chief purpose of every human being that's born on earth? According to the London Baptist Confession, the Westminster Confession of Faith, what's the chief purpose of every man, woman born into this world? What's your chief purpose? Do you know what your chief purpose is according to these great confessions of the faith and based on the Bible? Yes, sir.
I'm going to say to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, yes, but in doing that, you fulfill your chief purpose, which your chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And yes, to do that, you have to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right. You have to do that. And that is our purpose. And that was the purpose for these brothers, that they were to believe on the Messiah and to therefore glorify God and enjoy fellowship with Him. But if you don't believe on the Messiah, you're not going to be able to glorify God. You're not going to be able to enjoy fellowship with God. You can have religion like Adam and Eve put fig leaves on, but were they enjoying God when they wore those fig leaf aprons? No, they were hiding from God. They were scared. They were guilty. And a lot of religious people are like that. They try to salve their conscience by religion, by prayer, by going to church, by doing these good works. That doesn't take away your sin. In fact, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no cleansing, no washing away of your sin. You have true moral guilt before a God, and you cannot have that guilt removed without the shedding of blood. And God started that right at the beginning. And so the boys, they were born, and they had all these identical opportunities and identical purposes in their life to glorify God and enjoy fellowship with Him. And so the Bible speaks about that. Now, I want you to go to the next verse of chapter 4, verse 3. It says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And then and Abel, he also brought, verse 4, of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So you have two brothers. They have an identical purpose, right? They have an identical purpose, but One said yes to God. I will offer a sacrifice of an innocent lamb and watch that lamb bleed and shed blood, and I will put that on the stone that is there right on the east side to the entrance of the Garden of Eden. The other brother said, no, I will not offer animal sacrifice. I'm going to give a bloodless sacrifice of fruits and vegetables that represent my work and my best efforts. And I'm going to give that to God. And the result was that he was mad and sad. The other brother was happy and accepted by God. They had equal opportunities, but two different reactions, right? Very different reactions. All right, Brother Steve.
We have to remember that Cain was the older one, and he thought everything was right.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to, what he had to do was go to his brother to buy his land.
That's right. That's right.
It's not rich anymore, but where was he going to get?
That's exactly right. That's a good point. So he could have very easily got the lamb from his brother.
But he wasn't going to give his brother nothing.
And what would he buy it with?
His vegetables.
His vegetables and his fruit. Because his brother had to eat, if he ate mutton, he had to eat fruit with it, right? And vegetables. Yeah. So he had the opportunity to buy it from his brother and do that, and his brother would have very gladly accepted that, and we know that later. Now, it says in the process of time they offered, and what this goes back to is at the end of the week. The process of time was the end of the week. So on the Sabbath day, which is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, Adam had taught them to offer an animal sacrifice on a stone right before the entrance to the Garden of Eden. Because remember, there were two big cherubims there, and they guarded the way so you couldn't get into the garden. And he didn't want them to eat from the tree of life, because if they ate from the tree of life, they would live forever, but in fallen, sinful bodies. And God didn't want that. He didn't want them to live in sinful bodies forever. Otherwise, you'd still have Hitler around, and you'd have all the bad people around. God wanted them to die and seek eternal life from him, not by the tree of life in the garden, but by the tree called Calvary, where the Lamb of God died and shed his blood for our sin. And if you want eternal life, you can have it that way too. Now, what are the globalists trying to do? They're trying to get eternal life by making us merge with AI. And they want us to merge with AI and download our intelligence onto computers and live forever and put AI into our bodies and be half AI and half human, right? And they call that transhumanism. That's what the globalists want to do, like Klaus Schwab and Noah Yuval Harari and those wicked people. They want to do all of that. But God said, no, that's not how you get eternal life. You get eternal life not by doing those kind of physical things. You have to believe in your heart upon the one that died on that tree called Calvary, and he was cursed, and he's the Lamb of God that takes away your sin. And if you put your faith in him, then you will live forever. And you will live in a place where you can reign over the earth with no curse, and it'll be wonderful, and you won't die, and all of that. So Cain and Abel were given the opportunity, and like Steve said, Cain had the opportunity to buy a lamb and offer that lamb, but he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give the best that I've got to God, and God better accept that. And God didn't accept it. And I don't know, it may have been that fire came from heaven and took Abel's sacrifice. And nothing happened with Cain. You know, God sent fire from heaven when Elijah prayed and took the sacrifice. God sent fire from heaven when Moses built the tabernacle. God sent fire from heaven when Solomon built the temple and dedicated it. I don't know, he may have sent fire from heaven, but at any rate, it was very clear that God said, yes, I accept your offering, Cain. Why? Because that's what Adam taught him. And that's what God told Adam to teach him. And that's what Adam did every Sabbath at the beginning of the garden. And Cain had the same opportunity. He was taught by the same parent, but he refused to do what God wanted him to do. And so he was not accepted by God. And by the way, the same thing is true of you. You come here to church, you hear the same preacher, you hear the same gospel, you have the same opportunity to believe upon the Lord as your Savior. But if you don't do it, if you depend upon your own good works to get you to heaven, and you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lamb, then you will pay for your own sin, because it won't cover. Your own fig leaves won't cover, and you will die and go to hell. And so that's what happened with Esau and Jacob. Esau just wasn't interested. He didn't care about that. He cared about things of this life, and therefore he didn't believe. But Jacob, he believed and was a believer and was saved. And so you see those two different destinies. So let's go back so far in our lesson. What we've looked at is number one, and I'll go back. Number one, these brothers were born with equal opportunities to believe and to glorify God. And number two, they were born with identical purposes, that we're supposed to believe and be saved and live our lives to the glory of God and enjoy God. And of course, they were to multiply and replenish the earth as well. And number three, they were born with the same possessions, all right? They brought nothing into this world. And when you're born, you're born with something called a birthday suit. You know what that is? It's not like what I'm wearing right now. You have a birthday suit. You're totally naked. And you're born that way from your mother. You have nothing. And when you leave, they might put you in a nice suit and put a nice ring on you and all of this. But you know what? When you leave, that goes behind you. It is not going to be there. You know, these two bums were looking at a rich guy get buried in a Cadillac, you know. And they were watching this rich guy get married in a Cadillac. And man, he had a nice suit on and rings and gold and silver and everything. And they were lowering that Cadillac into the grave. And the two bums were looking at it. And one bum said to the other, "Man, that's what I call living." That's what I call living. But you know, that's not really true, because they were, you know, you're going to die and you leave it all behind you. You can't take it with you. You know, and so the Bible says we all come into the world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. And they were constructed the same way. They were same able-bodied people. They could work. They both had a job. Abel decided he wanted to be a shepherd, and that was the job he chose. Cain decided to be a farmer. Nothing wrong with being a farmer. Adam was a farmer. And Cain was a farmer. It was good employment. Yeah. And Abel had a good job too. He was a shepherd. And they could have worked together. Like we just said, they had the same construction of opportunities. They each had a soul. You know, each one of us has a soul. And it's an eternal soul. Yeah, I used to talk to my secretary's former secretary, not this secretary, my former secretary, her husband. And he said, "No, man doesn't have a soul." And I showed him from the Bible where Rachel died and it said that her soul left her body. And the Bible says in Genesis, I believe it's Genesis 36, that that's the definition of death, when your soul leaves your body. I said, "No, it was right there in the Bible." He said, "No, a man's just an air-breathing animal. When God breathed into Adam's nostrils, he just breathed into him the ability to breathe like any animal breathes in and out." Well, I said, "No, it's more than that. He not only breathed into him the ability to breathe oxygen, but he breathed into him a soul and a spirit. And that is invisible. Your soul, you can't see it. It's an invisible part of you. And it is inside of you. Your body's like a computer, and your soul runs that computer. But your soul is the ghost, is your ghost. It's inside of you. You all have a ghost. And, you know, when you die and your body can't function anymore, and you can't breathe anymore, and your heart can't beat anymore, and so forth, that soul has to leave your body at that point. And so that is what death is. And we each have a soul. And that soul will leave our body at death. And so that's what happened to Cain, and that's what happened to Abel. Now, where did Cain's soul go? When he died, where did his soul go? Raise your hand if you know. I think you know. Where did his soul go? Cain. Brenda? What's that?
To hell.
Oh, yeah, that's what you said, to hell. To hell. And hell is at the center of the earth right now. It's dark, it's hollow, it's hot, it's horrible. And he's still there. As we're speaking, it's been about 6,000 years, God forbid, but he's still there. How does that soul feel pain? I don't know, but it does. Luke 16 says that when you're in hell, that soul will actually feel pain. And it's like the soul takes the shape of the body. Like Samuel, when he came back, you know, from the dead to talk to Saul, he looked like Samuel. And, you know, in hell, your soul will look like you. Look when you die. And it talks about your tongue, you know, the tongue of your soul will want it water and won't be able to get it in hell, and it's going to be horrible suffering. And later on, Cain's soul will be joined with his body. His body will be raised. And he'll have to stand before God at the final judgment. And people will get out of hell and they'll be trembling like before. Oh, I'm out of here. And they'll stand there, and God will show them their sin and say, you never turned to me for the way you had the opportunity. You say, well, how about people in Africa that never heard the Bible or heard the gospel? By the way, a lot of people in Africa now have heard the gospel, but people that have never heard it. But they still have the sun, the moon, the stars, and if they respond to that light and turn to the God, then God will give them more light and show them how to be saved. But if they turn to idols, they turn away from God, and they'll be damned. And that's what Cain did. He had the light of not only the creation, but he had the Bible teaching of Adam, and he turned away from it and made a decision. We all have to make a decision. Am I going to choose God's way, or am I going to choose the devil's way? Which is to reject the blood of the Lamb of God that died for the sins of the world. If I accept it, I'll live forever. Melvin?
But I had a dream, and I saw Jesus going to the Father. And I said, Jesus, he turned around and looked at me. And I woke up.
I hear you. I hear you. But you know what? We have something better than that. We have God's inspired word. A lot of dreams written here of inspired prophets of God. And it's here, and you can rely on it. But you have to do it by faith. Yes, Kathy?
A couple of days ago, I was witnessing to a man that I had talked to on and off in my travels. And he was very friendly.
Yeah. I'm going to go to hell and be with my friends.
I've heard it before, but it just hurt my heart because I thought every time I've talked to him, he's kind of glib and I'm going to be with my friends, I'm going to be fine. I'm like, you will not be with friends, you'll be all alone, suffering. This is your chance. And then afterward, I almost felt sad because I thought all these opportunities every time I talk to him, he's turned it away and he's going to be responsible for that.
Yeah, you'll have no friends in hell. Everybody will be suffering, everybody will be for themselves. And it'll be more selfish and worse than ever. You may see people in hell and see what they're going through, but everybody's going to be screaming and crying, and it's not going to be any party. Yep.
When you hear somebody wailing in agony, it's unbearable.
Yes. Yes. Yes, oh, definitely. Yes, hearing it. And you're not going to hear partying and fun and all that. No, it's suffering. Like you said, it's agony. It's like a person dying in a hospital and you hear them screaming out. I visited people in a hospital and they were crying and screaming in agony and the pain was there. I remember visiting somebody in the next room. Somebody was mocking them for their agony. They were like, and they're in the next room. And I wanted to go in there and punch the guy right in the face. I was a pastor visiting. I said I had to do all I could do to keep from just going over there and going, bam! But I was so angry. But hell is like that. And it's a horrible thing. And so if you're here and you have not done what Abel did, and you've not put your faith in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died for the sins of the world, so that anybody in the world has the opportunity to trust him, to put your faith in him, then you're rejecting the good news of God's gift that he paid for. And a lot of people do it because they want to have fun. And they're not worried about hell. And they just go on and shuck it off. But you can't run from death. You can run, but you can't hide. It's going to come. So you need to accept the Lord by faith and be saved and be happy like Abel, because where is Abel right now? He's in heaven. First, he went to Abraham's bosom, which was a paradise place at that time for the Old Testament in the center of the earth. It was right near hell, but not hell. But then when Christ died and was buried, he went down there and took the people out of there. And when he rose from the dead, he brought them up into the third heaven. And so they're all the Old Testament saints, Abraham and Abel and all of them, they're now in the third heaven. They're in the New Jerusalem. And if you die in the New Testament, angels will take you right to the New Jerusalem if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. You can count on that. It's going to be great. It will be a party forever and ever. Brenda? Exactly. Yeah. Now, purgatory, when I was in college and I went to seminary, I had a history course taught by Dr. John Benson. And I was like, where is purgatory? It's not in the Bible. So where did it come from? And he told us that it came from the Roman Catholic Church. They had gotten away from the Bible, gotten away from God, and became the Roman Catholic Church, which just means the Roman Universal Church of the Roman Empire. And they wanted to raise money for the church because they were into money. And so they wanted to build this big basilica, and they came up with purgatory, so people love their relatives and would want to get them out of purgatory and into heaven. And they said, if you give money to the church, souls will go out of there and go to heaven. And there was a guy, a theologian by the name of John Tetzel. He was a Roman Catholic theologian, John Tetzel. And he used to debate against people that didn't believe in purgatory. But he would say to the Roman Catholics, he would say, as soon as your money hits the offering plate, souls go out of heaven. So when that money hits the plate, souls of your relatives are going out of purgatory to heaven. And boy, did he raise money that way. That's where purgatory came from. It's a lie of Satan. There is no purgatory. There's either hell or heaven. Yeah.
And she said, oh, you're going to make me wait until purgatory. I said, there is no purgatory, so if you wait until purgatory.
You told her the truth. You told her. Steve?
The answer to that question is, show me in the Bible.
That's right.
That's the question. When you show me, it's a number of things.
Yeah.
And they already know the Bible.
Yeah, a person can have a dream. A person can have a vision. A person can talk to an angel. But the Bible says, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what's written right here, let him be accursed. So, yeah, you have it in the Bible. And so we have the opportunity, same Bible. I hope you'll make sure that you trust the Lord. After you get saved, this doesn't save you, but the Lord wants you to get baptized. And baptism, by being dipped under water, shows others that you got saved. But only after you know you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ should you get baptized. And only once after. All right. All right. The lessons are here. And you can pick them up. Amen and amen. Two per person. Here's one. And here is second one for you. I'm going to take this out. There's one. And a second one. You want one for Wilda?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Did I give you two? There's the last one. Now you have two. Okay. John, I'll give you two. Do you want? No, Diane will have hers. She's a teacher now. She left us. All right.
My dog passed. Well, she didn't pass away.
Here, take this.
Friday, but I had to put her down at 4:40.
Your dog died?
Yeah, 4:40 on Friday. Do you think I should have cremated her or no? Because right now she's in the freezer. I was a little upset.
Oh, she's in the freezer?
Yeah, the vets.
It doesn't really matter. You can bury her or you can do what you want, but I know it really hurts to lose a dog. I suffered for a long time. I still think about my dog that died in 2016.
I got another hand.
Okay, buddy. I'll give it to you. So I feel for you, you know, but, you know, you could make a grave and mark it for a memorial or something, or you could cremate and put the ashes in the grave. You know, it's different because they don't get raised like we do.
You don't think it would be like that
tomorrow? No, it's not. A person it would be because that goes against the resurrection. But no, for the dog,
it. You don't think it's gonna hurt him?
What's that?
It's not gonna hurt him.
Nope, not wouldn't feel it at all. No.
He's dead.
Yeah, because the animal is dead, and it's up to God. If God wants to put an animal in heaven, He can do that. You know, you could always ask Him for it. I want my dog back in heaven. You know, He could do it.
Yeah, about it and pray for her all the time. So.
God made it, and God could make it again, and bring it. That's just up to Him, but you could pray for it. But I'm sorry for your pain. I know that really hurts. You know.
Yeah, the kids want another one. I can't get another one.
That's
we
so.
We still have one more.
You know, and that's the pain of sin and death. You know, when they had to see animals
she
die.
Still, like, she just couldn't get up. Her back leg stopped working.
I know
it. I kept her for like a whole week. And then Carly's dad came, and he's like, you have to put her down. She's suffering. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's what happened to my dog. He couldn't walk anymore. Yeah, couldn't walk anymore, and I had to put him down.
She was drinking water, but her stomach was filling.
I know. It's tough. I know. It's so painful.
Next time I'm going to leave my horse.
Yeah.
The horse,
you did the right thing. You had to do it, you know. And God can bring it back in heaven if He wants, you know. Yeah.
I want to talk to you.
I'll be praying. Yep.
My grandson, Arian, accepted Jesus, and he's been listening to godly music on his iPad.
Oh, that's good.
I went to look to see what he was listening to, and I hope that's nothing bad.
Now, where does he live?
He lives on Washington Avenue.
So he comes here to church, and he accepted Jesus. Wow.
Yeah, but he didn't get baptized.
He need
still
tell him.
Working on getting baptized.
He's kind of scared.
He's scared to go under the water.
Okay.
Last week he saw a baptism.
Good.
He said, Grandma, that was quick.
It doesn't hurt at all. Yeah.
So, I'm still talking.
Keep talking to him about it. That's good, though.
I want to let you know. And he sings a song about marching in the infantry.
And what's his name?
Arian.
Arian. So he comes on the bus. That's right. I know him. I know who he is.
Hi,
sweetie. Good to see you. Are you going to be in children's church today?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Did you come on the bus?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Awesome. That is wonderful. I'm so glad you're coming to church. Keep coming. Yeah.
I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you notice that? Because I just noticed it the other day. I mean, I've heard it, but I never paid attention until recently.
Yeah.
That Joe Biden isn't the same Joe Biden all the time.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed that, yeah.
Somebody told me to look at his eyes, because the one has blue and the one has brown.
Yeah.
And I finally started paying attention, and when I see him talking and everything, that's when I'm starting to notice.
Because he's so out of it, so they use body doubles, I believe, yeah.
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 I was told that, and I didn't pay attention.
He's just their puppet. That's all he is.